Amen. James chapter 3, if you will. James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. I know I was worrying Joey back there because he had my lapel on, but I didn't have it unmuted. So he's back there wondering what's going on. Just trying to keep you on your toes, Joey, that's all. James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says this, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." Notice verse 8 here. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." That's some encouraging words for a Sunday night, is it not? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for all that You're doing. And Lord, I pray that You would just continue to work in our hearts. Lord, this is something that, Lord, all of us, Lord, especially myself, Lord, I need help in this area. I need help, Lord, just guarding my words and guarding my tone and guarding my thoughts and all of these things, Lord. We are needy. We need Your help. And I pray that You would guide and direct my thoughts and words this evening. Be with us throughout this service, and Lord, I pray that You would keep our eyes on You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here in the book of James, we're reading about a little member, of course, that the Bible says is there within our mouth, and we've been discussing this thing that the Bible here this evening in verse 8, it says is full of deadly poison. It's a pretty strong words there. That it's full of deadly poison. We read last week this little member that setteth on fire the course of nature. We talked about how just by the words that you speak and by the tone that you speak them in, the ways that we say things, and when we say things that God didn't tell us to say, and when we don't say things that God told us to say, that can set us on a path in our life where at the end of that path, there's going to be ruin, there's going to be destruction. We can be standing in a pile of ashes, just completely alone, wondering to ourselves, why did I let myself get here, knowing that it was because we spent our life tearing down other people and allowing our tongue to set on fire the whole course of our life. Our tongue is called an unruly evil. It's wicked. It's full of deceit. And the Lord warns us many times about this. And He also paints it in a way that is meant to help us to see that we cannot tame our tongue without His help. So with that said, I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, The Untamable Beast. The Untamable Beast. Now notice here in verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. There's a lot of things throughout our life that we would say, well, I can do that. Or, well, if I work hard enough, I can do this. Or as long as I stay vigilant at this, then I can conquer this, or I can achieve this. And we have all sorts of things in our life that we're trying to do. But the Bible here, it makes no bones about it. It says this, that there's every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea. All of those things, they've been tamed by mankind. But this thing, no man can tame. It doesn't say, well, unless you've been saved for this amount of time. Well, no man can tame unless you go to this church. Unless you have this much scripture memorized, unless you are serving through the church, unless you're a pastor, unless you're a Sunday school teacher, unless you're a deacon, unless you're doing these things. No, it says no man can tame this. No one at all. Notice first of all here, the comparison that's given. The comparison that is given. Notice in verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now notice here, it's talking about all of these different beasts, the beasts of the field, and it also talks about the things in the sea, all of these things that mankind has tamed. And since the beginning of time, we know, and in reading the book of Genesis, of course, God created all of these things in six literal days. It wasn't thousands of years and all of those things that people are trying to push today. No, it was 6 literal days. God created everything that is known to man and everything that is unknown to man. God created it all in 6 days. And then God said, it is good. And of course, he created man and he told man that he was over everything that was on the earth as far as caring for it and over the beasts of the field and those things. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you will. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look here at verse 26 through verse 28. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. There are a lot of people that say that, well, God created God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Well, if that's true, who's he talking to in this verse? Notice here in verse 26, and God said, let us. That means there was more than one there, amen? God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, they were all there. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Here's a verse that's not accepted today. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, everything that we just saw mentioned there in those verses is mentioned over here in the book of James as well. And God says in the book of James that man has tamed all of those other things. God gave man dominion over those things. And the book of James says that all of these things have been tamed by man. At some point, man can do that. But this thing that's in our mouth, no man can tame. This world is full of animal rights activists. Amen. They are everywhere. And I am not for cruelty to animals. I believe that we need to care for what the Lord has given to us. But can I help us here tonight? Animals are not people. They're not people, okay? They don't have a soul. They cannot be saved. They're not people. I love our beagle, Copper. My wife has a dog, Mini Poodle, and we'll leave her alone for a moment here. Then there's cats, amen. We'll leave those alone to protect the innocent. I love Copper, okay? Copper doesn't have a soul. Copper's a dog. Copper loves to eat human food, but that does not make him a human. Amen. He loves pizza. He loves all those things. But he's not a human. Okay. They are not eternal beings. And the Bible says that we are to have dominion over them. God gave mankind dominion over the animals. People say, well, we need to be kind to animals. We shouldn't hunt them. We shouldn't eat them. And all sorts of other things that people say. And the truth of the matter is this. I would agree with them. There is a place for all of God's creatures right next to the potatoes and gravy. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just made all the animal rights activists mad. Okay, if there's anybody still with us on the live stream, just hang in there. We'll get into the message here in just a moment. The reality is this. I have no patience for the mindset that will fight for the life of a dog, a cat, a snake, or any other animal, but will not fight for the life of a baby in the mother's womb. Lord, help us. But that's where our world is today. Animals are meant to be used. We have dominion over them. And since the beginning of the time, mankind has developed ways to train animals. They train everything. It is amazing the way that God has allowed mankind to be able to bring animals into submission. They will train everything from the smallest chipmunk to the largest elephants. It's amazing what God has allowed us to do. When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time over at my grandparents' house. And my grandfather, he would raise, breed, sell, and also hunt with beagles. And at one point, he had over 65 beagles. I loved going over there. And when it was dinner time, all the neighbors knew it. They knew it. Them dogs would let the neighbors know that my grandfather was going down with all of that food. But we would oftentimes work on training techniques, and we'd be training these dogs to hunt rabbits, and we would train them to hunt different upland birds and those types of things. But we would train them also to obey whatever the master said to do. That's what we would train them to do. I love to watch well-trained dogs and animals work. I love to watch police canines and hunting dogs and all of that. I know it's taken a lot of time to get them to that point. It just does. One man said this: as a professional animal trainer, I was disturbed when my dog developed a bad habit. Every time I hung my wash on the clothesline, she would yank it down. Drastic action was called for. I put a white kitchen towel on the line and waited. Each time she pulled it off, I scolded her. After 2 weeks, she left the towel alone. Then I hung out a large wash and left to do some errands. When I came home, my clean clothes were scattered all over the yard, but the white towel was still hanging on the line. What had happened? Well, he trained the dog to do one thing, right? He trained it to not touch that one piece of fabric. There are people who are lion trainers, lion tamers, they are called. They can do some pretty amazing things. One lion trainer had a lion that was so trained he would put his head in the lion's mouth. I choose life, amen? That's not happening. But he would do that. When I was a boy, there was a circus coming to town over towards Centerville, Maryland, and we heard that they were going to use elephants to pull the posts for the big circus tent up, and my grandma heard about that, so she loaded up the grandkids and took us over to that place. We got there, and we realized we were able to ride on the back of one of these elephants. It was great. It was this huge saddle that was up on this thing. I was able to sit up in the front, and this elephant's ears were coming back, and they would hit my legs, and it felt like somebody was smacking each leg with a mattress. It was just huge, just riding that elephant. It was an amazing thing they trained that beast to do. But I want us to think about the truth the Lord is showing us here. Think about the animals we just talked about, everything that they've been trained to do, from the smallest animal to the largest. And though there are some that we wouldn't touch and that we have no desire to be close to because of how dangerous they are, the Bible says every one of them can be tamed. They are dangerous, but they can be tamed. They can be brought into submission by man, except for the tongue. Except for that. There's this one thing. Now, we would look at a lion, and if I was to say, jump in that lion's a corral, if you will, or that cage there, I'm sure nothing will happen to you. We would say, I'm not jumping in there, because that thing, when it looks at me, all it sees me as is a juicy steak. Amen? I'm not getting in there. And we see the danger that's happening and the danger that is prevalent right there. But so many times, we will open our mouth without realizing that there's a greater danger with that tongue than what could ever be found in the cage of a roaring lion. So much danger there. All of these animals can be brought into submission, but not the tongue. The truth that's being explained here, it's plain and it's simple. No matter what devices man has, no matter what man knows, no matter what we try to do or try not to do, the reality is we cannot tame our tongue. On our own, we cannot bring it into submission. We cannot even come close to taming that beast. Notice, second of all this evening, the character explained. The character explained. Notice verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now look at these two words that are used to describe the tongue. Unruly evil. That word unruly is only used 4 times in the entire Bible, and here's what it means. It means unrestrainable. Think about that. There's a lot of things in life that can be restrained. Think of a beast. We were talking about a lion a moment ago, and even with an elephant. And you think of the greatest creatures in size, and you think of them. There is somewhere, somehow, somebody can make a cage or a chain that is strong enough to restrain that beast. Think about these huge warships and cruise ships and things like that. When they come into the harbor, they have these ropes that seem like they're this big around. What are they for? It's to restrain that massive vessel. But yet, this tongue is unrestrainable. It's unruly. And it's an unruly evil. This is important for us to realize here. Understand, we see no man can tame the tongue and no man can restrain the tongue. This is important for us to know because these beasts here, these dangerous beasts that we have mentioned tonight, they may be hard to tame. They may have hurt a lot of people. They may be stubborn with a big enough cage, as I mentioned, or tranquilizers. It can be restrained. But not that thing that's within our mouth. That's what the Bible says. It says it is an unruly evil. I truthfully believe that many believers desire to have their tongue restrained. I believe that there are a lot of believers who know that their actions and their words and their tone is wrong, and they desire to fix that. And they've been fighting that battle for so long. They have relationships that have been broken. They can see that it's wreaked havoc in their life. And they would say, I know that it needs to change. But they keep falling back into that same old rut. Why is that? Because they're trying to restrain something that they can't restrain. They're trying to conquer something in their own power that they cannot conquer. Anytime we are trying to take the reins, if you will be defeated. We need to give the reins to God. We need to allow the Lord to restrain this tongue, because the Bible tells us plain and simple, we cannot restrain that. No man can tame this tongue. Many, because they realize they cannot tame it, they have convinced themselves that they can restrain it, but they cannot. Some will say, well, I'll just try to watch my words. I'll just try harder. I'll just try to restrain my tongue. And they are defeated time after time after time. And it's a never-ending circle because they refuse to see the plain truth that the Bible clearly says, you cannot restrain that beast. You can't do it. But I do praise the Lord for this. When we read that and it says that it is an unruly evil, and it talks about it being unrestrainable with that word unruly, here's where I praise the Lord. That's speaking of man's power. It's not speaking of God's power. It's not saying, well, you have that beast in your mouth and it's an unruly beast. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. And you're just going to struggle with this, and you're going to ruin all your relationships, and you're gonna end up lonely in life because you can't control your tongue because no one, not even God, can help you. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying this. It's unruly. It is unrestrainable in your power. But with God, all things are possible. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord for that. We can read over and over and over again that God cares for us, that He is almighty. He is all powerful. God is going to take care of this. But understand, we have to give it to Him. That unruly is speaking in man's power. I believe the Lord is speaking to some hearts this evening. Maybe you seem as though it's a losing battle. You may say, well, I've tried so many things. I've tried to clean up my speech. I've tried to watch my tone. I've tried to do this or that, but I keep falling back into that same old loop again. Understand this. The Lord desires to help you, and He will help you if you ask Him. The Bible says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says this, ye have not, why? Because ye ask not. God desires to help us. God isn't up there just sitting there saying, I'm just leaving them to their own now. No, God is, he's there. He has the antidote for us. He has it waiting for us. He's just waiting for us to ask. You know, too often we think that in our mind, well, I can only take big things to God. Everything's a big thing in our mind. Should be. But praise the Lord, everything is a little thing in God's mind. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long we've struggled with this tongue that's in our mouth. It doesn't matter how many relationships we've re-ruined and all of those things. Understand, God can help us. And He desires to. He desires to put us on the right path. God desires that we lean upon Him. And before we think that there are things that we should just do ourselves, well, I'm not going to bother God with this. Let me put it this way. We've got a lot of parents here and even grandparents. And I want you to think of this. With your children and with your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, whatever you may have, think about this for a moment. You love them. Love your children, grandchildren, and extended family and things. If they needed help, you would hope that they would come and they would ask, Dad, Mom, Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, Uncle, whatever it is, I need help with this. Can you help me? And many times we will find that someone was struggling we'll find out after the fact that they were struggling and we would say this, why didn't you just ask me for help? Think about how God feels. He knows everything we're going through. He knows it. It's not something He's going to find out down the line and say, I didn't know you were going through that. Why didn't you ask me? No, God knows exactly what we're going through. All He's desiring is that we ask. That's it. Don't allow yourself to continue to be defeated by this sin with the tongue. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Anytime you think, well, I don't need to give this to God, well, look at the second word of 1 Peter 5, 7. The Bible says this, casting, what's that next word? All. Little things, big things, things that we've dealt with before so we think we know how to deal with it again. All of it. Cast it all on Him. Don't continue to live in defeat, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what the issue is many times with our tongue? The issue is many times we just don't care. We just don't care. Well, I said what needed to be said. But did you say what God wanted you to say? Well, they needed to hear that. Did God tell you that you needed to say it? Well, there's just no way that I could tell them that and keep my cool. Well, then, as a believer, you need to fall on your face before God because you acted out in anger, and that's a sin in the Bible. Lord, help us. Many times we just don't care. Why do we not take things to God? Because we don't care. Because we think, well, this is just how I live. This is just how I am. Shouldn't be that way. No, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The tongue is wicked. It's full of iniquity. It's unruly. It's full of sin, and the sin of and sin is rebellion. Think about this for just a moment. When we refuse to give it over to God, we are sinning. When we keep it to ourselves. When we continue to say things we shouldn't say, demean people, be rude, be arrogant, speak in a harsh tone, when we gossip, understand we are sinning and sin is rebellion. But many times we look at it this way, well, that's just what they needed to hear. And we look at that type of a sin as a rebellion against man. It's not. It's a rebellion against Almighty God. understand that if we love God the way that we should, we'll treat people the way that we should. When we treat people a way that we're not supposed to treat them, it's because we don't love God the way that we're supposed to love Him. We're supposed to care the way that the Lord Jesus Christ cares. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to do that. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. To Him, which is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The Bible also says, with God, all things are possible. Though this word means unrestrainable, I praise the Lord that God is able. I praise the Lord that He's able to help us. Though the Bible says that man cannot, praise the Lord that the Bible says that God can. And there's nothing that God cannot do. The Bible says God cannot lie. I praise the Lord for that. I'm talking about in our life, anything that we're going through, God can help us with that. Many times people will go through their life and live 60, 70, 80, 90, even 100 years, and they never give the Lord the reins of their tongue. Why? Because they don't care. Because they don't care. They just live in rebellion. Can I help us here this evening? If that's our attitude, God won't use us. He won't. God desires people that are willing to yield to His word. We're going to fail. We're going to have shortcomings. We're going to say things we shouldn't say. We're going to say things in a way that we shouldn't say them. But we need the Lord's help, so that when we do those things, first of all, we confess it to God. Second of all, we make it right with the person we were talking to. It's a humbling experience. I believe the Lord's speaking to us this evening. Maybe you seem as though it's a losing battle. Maybe you may say, I've tried so many things. I've tried to clean up my speech. I've tried to watch my tone. I've tried this and I've tried that, but I keep falling into that again. The Lord desires to help you. Tongue is wicked. It's full of iniquity. It's rebellion against God. Too often we think that we're justified in acting a certain way or speaking in an unkind way because what we would say, they deserve that. As a child of God, understand it isn't just the individual that's being hurt. We're hurting our Heavenly Father. And before we think to ourselves, well, I said that because that's what they deserve, think about this. Aren't you glad God didn't give you what you deserve? Aren't you glad that God didn't treat us the way that we deserve to be treated? We deserve to be in hell. That's where we deserve to be. But the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we would be giving of ourselves to people, the Lord would have full reign over our tongue. If we give, but too often we try to just say what we think they need to hear. No, the Bible tells us what they need to hear. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Lord, help us to have Your wisdom. We need the Lord's help. Only God can tame our tongue. And then notice, thirdly this evening and lastly, notice the cause for the control. The cause for the control. Why does it need to be controlled? What is it in this thing that needs to be controlled? Look at verse 8 of our passage. Let me get back there. I'm still over here in 1 Peter. James chapter 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Notice these last four words. Full of deadly poison. If I was to come to you and bring two glasses of water, and I was to say, one of these has enough poison that one sip and it's going to kill you. Here, take a drink. You'd say, no thanks. I'm not going to take that. What if I came to you and I said, here's a glass of water for you. It's full of deadly poison. Here you go. You'd say, no thanks. And then, after, of course, that second time, you'd say, I am never eating anything or taking anything from that person again. Amen. We know that to be true if someone was to come and they would say, hey, here's a drink for you, it's got poison in it. But yet when it comes to our tongue, though the Bible says that it is full of deadly poison, we just continue to let it rattle off like it wants. We know there's danger there. We know there's poison there. We know that that it's going to hurt people. We know that it's going to hurt us. We know that it's going to hurt our loved ones and everyone around us. It's going to destroy the family. It has the potential to destroy even the church family and everyone around us in our circle. But we continue to let it go, even though it's full of deadly poison. I want you to look over at Psalm chapter 140, if you will. Psalm chapter 140. Book of Psalm chapter 140. Notice verse 3. Here's a picture painted for us. Let's read verse 1 through 3, just for context's sake. Psalm chapter 140, verse 1 through 3. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. Notice verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. How many in here would hold a poisonous snake? You're going to die early, Sammy. Amen. I am not getting anywhere close to a poisonous snake. Let me ask you this. How many here would be able to sleep at night knowing a poisonous snake is somewhere loose in your house? Ain't happening. I would say, burn it down. Get that snake out of there. The truth is this. None of us would want a deadly poisonous snake slithering around our house because we know that it would hurt us. We know that I don't want that slithering around my house because I've got children here. I've got my spouse here that I care for. I don't want any of my family to get hurt, and I don't want to get hurt by that. It would hurt us and our loved ones and our friends. Notice, it's not if it can hurt us. It's a poisonous snake running around the house. It's not if, it's when will it? It's going to at some point. It's going to hurt somebody. We wouldn't let that go in our house, but yet we allow our tongue to go unchecked. If there was a venomous snake loose in our house, we would most likely call a professional because we don't have the skill or the right equipment to handle the situation. Outside the house, I've handled some snakes, not with my bare hands, with some other pieces of equipment. We'll leave it at that. Amen? And those snakes are now in forever gone. We'll leave it at that. But when it comes to our tongue, we think we have it under control. We think it's dealt with. And we would say something like this, well, I'm trying to deal with it. But in the meantime, while we are dealing with it in our own power, our family's getting bitten. Our friends can feel the effects from the poison. Everyone around us can see that there's deadly poison there because we are dealing with it. Our friends are being hurt and everyone around us is affected. John Butler said this, "The tongue must be controlled like a venomous snake, or else each person involved will receive a deadly dose of bad words." Think about it. That's what we're dealing with in our mouth. That's the thing that God is warning us about. You know, all through God's word, He tells us exactly what we are to say and how we are to say it. He tells us that. He tells us, of course, as I mentioned a little bit ago, a soft answer turneth away wrath. He tells us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He went everywhere and He was teaching everyone and giving them biblical truths. We know that the apostles, they went everywhere teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. being kind to people. They were not perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ was, but the others, they were not perfect. But we see that they allowed the Lord to guard their tongue. But what happened when they didn't? Great men of God, we could say, and women of God, what happened when they didn't allow the Lord to guard their tongue? When they thought they could restrain their tongue, when they thought they could do enough, what happened? Well, David told his servants, go and get that woman. Ended up in adultery. David said, put her husband at the front of the line. Ended up in murder. Abraham, all of these ones, Lot, Noah, all of these ones that we could see, and any time they took control of their tongue, it didn't work out well for them. What about Peter? He denied the Lord three times in the same night. You think God put those words in his mouth? No. It was his pride that put him there. Because for just a moment, he took the reins from God and said, I can restrain this. They said, aren't you one of the ones that were traveling with Jesus? Aren't you one of the ones that were with him? I don't know who he was. And time after time, we see life destroyed, families destroyed, even nations destroyed, because someone wouldn't control their tongue. Because they said this, I've got this. I can do this. I'll try to do better. Church, we need the Lord's help. Our tongue is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. It's an untamable beast. Only the Lord can help us with that. We need his help. Let's give the Lord the reins of our tongue and let's stop letting the untamable, venomous snake run loose in our lives. There's people in our lives that we know that if we were to think of them, we would say that, well, they are someone that's letting their tongue run wild. They're not giving their tongue to the Lord. They're always saying these things that they shouldn't be saying them in a way they shouldn't be saying it, all of these different things. We can think of someone like that. And many times, you know why they're doing that when they call you or when they're sitting there talking to you is because you sit there and listen to it. Understand that when someone is spouting off things to us that we know they shouldn't be saying, that we know is not being said with the right heart, with the right intentions and those things, when we're listening to that, we're allowing that venomous poison to flow into us. And we're being hurt by that. What they're saying, it may have some truth to it, but that doesn't mean that it's right to say. And we need the Lord's help for when that happens, for us to say, I really don't want to hear about that. That's not helping anyone hearing about that. Now, you know what our mind and what this world would say, what our heart wants to say? Oh, I want to hear this. I want to hear what this person did or what that person's involved in and all of that. Understand that that's a deadly poison we're allowing to flow into our life. And just as I mentioned, we wouldn't drink a glass of water that we knew there was poison in. We shouldn't sit there and listen to someone that is spewing poison into our lives. And God help us if we're the one spewing that poison. Let's ask the Lord to tame this untamable beast. In man's power, amen. It's possible in God's power. Praise the Lord. Let's